Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Welcome to Neutral Radio. This is Michael Savage. I'm going to conform to the new communist regime that not only requires net neutrality, but I'm going to move a step ahead of everyone in radio, and I'm going to do radio neutrality. We're not going to ask whether Obama is a Muslim or a communist, because we know that to be the fact, and eventually he'll expose himself for being so proudly, just as he's exposing himself to be everything else that we feared. Eventually the truth will come out about those issues. So I'm going to just do radio neutrality today. I'm not going to mention the president even once, because there's no point in mentioning what's obvious to anyone with a brain. But let's look ahead at some other future events coming to this country. We're told that Hillary Rotten Clinton is going to be the next president because there's no Republican opposition. Now, I personally don't believe that she can win. If the candidates on the Republican side were to actually expose her record as Secretary of State and show the havoc she has wreaked around the world, she doesn't stand a chance. Forget Benghazi. Put that aside. Larry David doesn't care about Benghazi. The Woody Allens of the Upper East Side don't care about Benghazi. The Woody Allens of the Upper East Side could care nothing about Israel being thrown under the bus because they've always hated Israel. Now, it is true, let's say, that a guy like Larry David and Woody Allen are Jewish by birth. But in my mind, they're Ginos. They're Jews in name only. And American liberals, as you well know, many of whom happen to be of a particular faith by birth, have eschewed their faith and could care less about their own people. And they hate Israel. They consider the Israelis to be violent throwbacks because they tote guns. And as you well know, the Larry Davids of the world and the Woody Allens, who are on medication, I'm sure of it, are afraid of guns. They're gunophobic. And the reason liberals fear guns is because they look at the data. If you have a gun, people die. And of course, if they had a gun, they're afraid they shoot themselves, since they're so ambivalent about themselves. So I just received an email from a publisher pushing Hillary, and it says, "A woman in the White House, why it works." I have to read this garbage to you so you can see how twisted the world has become. "Dear Michael Savage, Hillary Rodham Clinton has a new approach for her 2016 presidential campaign," it reads. The New York Times reported this week. Well, that's a very reliable source, as you know. "Clinton has increasingly embraced the idea that the voter of 2016 will see her gender as an appealing asset, and even an advantage that she will have over male candidates," as the Times reports. Now, that unto itself, a child wouldn't write a thing like this. When I was a school teacher, if a child wrote that in the seventh grade, I'd say, go back, start again, because you're getting an F on that line. Why would someone's gender be an appealing asset and an advantage over males? Tell me what. What is it about women that give them an advantage over a male candidate? What, just because they're not a man? So listen to this twisted insanity. Quote, "Mrs. Clinton is unlikely to play into Republican caricatures of her as a divisive feminist warrior by highlighting her global advocacy for women and girls. Rather, her advisors say, she can be expected to weave gender into matters of economic fairness and opportunity," close quote. Now, if she's been a warrior for women and girls, how come she hasn't said one word, not one syllable, about the enslavement of women and girls by Muslims? How come she has not talked about genital mutilation by Muslims around the world? How come she hasn't mentioned the kidnapping and the enslavement of Christian girls and women in the Middle East, or Yazidi girls and women in the Middle East? It's a complete lie. But they go on. "With Clinton's new emphasis on the positive leadership traits a woman can bring to the presidency, voters may soon realize that female leadership is exactly what has been missing in the United States." I mean, you know, you can laugh at a thing like this, but they live in their own world. Why has female leadership been exactly what's missing in the United States? America's run by a sorority right now. America is run by a female leadership. The sorority around Obama is what has wrecked this country. Now they go on, it even gets worse. They quote some crackpot medical doctor, a so-called leading authority in biological anthropology, and here's what he argues. He says women possess traits that have long naturally made them better leaders and biologically superior to men, especially since men's physical strength is mattering less and less. Tell that to ISIS. Go ahead, tell that to ISIS, doc. Women make the best leaders, Connor explains, because they're fundamentally pragmatic as well as caring. Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer are caring and cooperative as well as competitive. Unbelievable. Wait, this gets better. Skilled in getting their own egos out of the way. Who is this crackpot doctor? They're skilled in getting their own egos out of the way? You mean Barbara Boxer? Dianne Feinstein got their egos out of the way? Deft in managing people. Yeah, by shrieking at them and scaring them to death. Without putting them on the defensive. Connor makes a compelling case that the end of male supremacy is where we are headed. And he sheds light on how women's ascent to power will make the world better for women and men both. This is Melvin Connor, M.D. Now, I don't know where this crackpot got his medical degree from, nor what his sexual ambiguity is, but I think Melvin Connor, M.D. needs a good psychiatrist. And then they try to peddle a book to me and get him on the show to talk about how good it is. And it came to me from a publicist from the W.W. Norton Company. And I sent her back a note which said, have you no shame? I doubt very much that she even knows what the word shame means. It's been disenabled from the human condition. Now we go to Hillary Clinton herself, who yesterday endorsed the takeover of the internet by Obama's fascistic regime, which happened, by the way, an hour ago. On a strictly partisan vote, the communists on the FCC, handpicked by the Obama machine, voted 3-2 to have a takeover of the internet. Now, as I said to you yesterday, something that no one has stolen yet, because I think it went over their heads. Back in the 60s, one of the cultural heroes was Marshall McLuhan, a hero of the 60s and a leftist at that. And McLuhan's book was, his message was very important. And McLuhan's message was the medium is the message. Remember that? All you hippies, raise your hand. I see a woman nodding in the front row on heroin, but no, I mean nodding. Yes, I need you to nod yes. I don't need you to nod out. You're not in Hollywood. Okay, I see a few people remember Marshall McLuhan, who wrote, the medium is the message, right? Now, if you're taking over the internet and you're giving it to a bunch of bumbling, idiotic, fascistic, mean-spirited bureaucrats of the type that are running America today, if they're going to control the medium called broadband, then they're going to control the message. That's exactly what just happened today. So here is the fair-minded Hillary Clinton, who has disappeared during ISIS's rampage, rapes, murder, genocide, suddenly pops up out of the woodwork. You got to listen to her in clips 1-3.
I would vote for net neutrality because, as I understand it, it's Title II with a lot of changes within it in order to avoid the worst of the utility regulation. So it's a foot in the door. It's a value statement. I think the president is right to be upfront and out front on that. We need to do more about how the spectrum is allocated. We need to do more about how we incentivize more competition in broadband. We need to figure out how to treat, you know, connectivity as a infrastructure development. There's a lot of other aspects. So it's not just net neutrality standing alone, end of debate. And we also are not operating in a vacuum. We know that other countries are taking their own steps to, you know, monitor the internet, control the internet, which we're not. But what we've got to figure out is how you get the right balance.
Monitor or control the internet. Monitor or control the internet. So here is the real face of this woman. Here is her not getting her ego out of the way, but putting her ego directly in the way. Here is a woman who is so caring and cooperative that she quotes foreign powers as examples of internet control. Now, who are the foreigners that she's talking about? China and Russia. UN internet powers. Republicans fear net neutrality plan could lead to UN internet powers. An Obama administration official dismissed any link between the FCC's rules and international authority over the internet, which, you know, whenever they dismiss something, you know it's true because they're all liars. Advocates, including President O, argue that the move is the... Oh, you don't understand. I'm not even going to read this. Forget about it. It's over your head. All of the inchworms out there who listen to me on the other side of the aisle, the Salenterate inchworms, those who laugh at Woody Allen's movies and don't understand how damaging his message is, you have no idea what contempt I have for the Larry Davids and the Woody Allens in the world. You don't know the enmity I have for those people. They've destroyed the world. You know why I say it? Because the devil is funny. The devil is clever. The devil is a very funny man. I watched a movie last night on television that I had missed because I didn't even hear about it. It was done, it's called Whatever Works, done in 2009. I was bored. I didn't want to do politics, and I watched, it was Larry David, one of the most damaging individuals that I've ever seen in my life. He hates Christians, hates Christianity, hates the Bible, hates guns, hates Republicans, hates conservatives. And in everything he does, he goes out of his way to drip contempt for the average American. Now, I would remind Mr. David and Mr. Allen, it were not for the crosses in the cemeteries in Normandy, for example, they would not only be speaking German, they'd be lampshades. I know those are harsh words for the Salenterites out there. I realize the inchworms who hate me don't understand what I'm saying, but I know many of you do understand what I'm saying. In this movie called Anything Works, directed by, don't you know, Woody Allen, the man who loves young women, and Larry David, who's an expert on climate science, he's an expert on global warming, these two individuals went out of their way to make a mockery of a Southern Christian woman as though she was a dolt, a moron. When she prayed, they mocked her to an invisible God. They said he doesn't exist. In other words, they pushed their atheistic, anti-Christian beliefs and made a mockery of everything decent about the world. So for a while, I watched it just with kind of detached amusement. Detached in the sense that, of course, I know that they're atheistic Salenterates from New York City, and that's how atheists who are Salenterates in New York City think. That's how they act. The inchworms of New York City think this way. They're superior to Christians. They think anyone who goes to church is a sub-moron. They're sure God doesn't exist. They know that guns are evil. They know that cops are bad. They know that minorities are all innocent. Let's see what else. The Muslims are victims. This is how they think, if you want to call it thinking. Now, if it wasn't that they had a tremendous power over the mindset of America, I wouldn't even be talking about them. But they are the problem, because go back to what I said at the beginning, the medium is the message. How is it that a guy like Harvey Weinstein, who is the czar of Hollywood, one of the czars, there are others, there's David Geffen, the secret power behind all the thrones, there's Jeffrey Katzenberg, and then, of course, there's Harvey Weinstein, who has an animus towards Christians, in my opinion, and towards guns, unlike any I've ever seen in my life. They all think the same way. These inchworms, as powerful as they are in shaping the images that go out to the world and in the fortunes that they can make and break, are some of the most damaging, dangerous individuals in American history. Now, if you compare these inchworms with their antecedents in Hollywood, who made movies that were positive about the military, positive about police, anti-criminal, anti-American, you could understand my enmity towards this current crop of individuals. And that leads me to this particular statement that I want to make about the pen and the sword. You know the old statement that the pen is mightier than the sword? Well, Barry Obama famously said that when it came to doing battle with the Republican Congress, that he has a phone and a pen. And he threatened to veto any legislation or lobby weak members of Congress in order to impose his fascistic views on everyone. And right after the Republicans fairly won the midterms by a landslide, Obama the dictator decided to go nuclear. And after the Republicans, actually the Republican cannots, signaled to him their weakness by claiming they would not shut down the government, the dictator enacted an executive order granting illegal alien criminals amnesty, and he dared Republicans to do something about it. They didn't. He neutered the weak Republicans in power, and they rolled over, letting it happen. And now that Obama has immigration out of the way, he's going after you. And I'll tell you more about what he did today with regard to guns, bullets, and the internet. the minute I return on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. It is 26 minutes after the hour. They say the pen is mightier than the sword, and today Barack Hussein Obama went after both. Just today, an Obama-packed FCC board approved a 322-page net neutrality set of regulations without anybody in the public having read a page of it. That's something that was done in the communist era. This will have a devastating effect on the transmission of news and information to you, the public. Obama used this unelected board under the guise of internet fairness to wrap up his control of not only online content, but eventually television and radio content. That's where this will lead. And on the same day that this maniac president of ours did this, he bypassed Congress again, issuing an executive order banning ammunition that is used in the AR-15 rifle. He knows he can't abolish the Second Amendment anyway, so he's doing everything he can to get around the Second Amendment. And again, not a peep from our so-called representative government. Let's be clear, we have few representatives at this time. They will not use the tools to stop this dictator that they have been provided by the Constitution. They don't even speak up for us or speak out against this usurpation of power. Oh yes, the pen may be mightier than the sword, but when you have both taken away from you, you are left with nothing except orders from your dictatorship that must be followed, or the rest, well, you know the rest of that story, don't you? It's the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm not in a comedic mood. I was going to start the show in another way today. Remember I did the last 2 days of that thing about a day in the life of a progressive female Hollywood producer, which was funny. People I know who have brains loved it. And remember it ended with her taking a coffee enema on the way to work. Then she goes to work in her electric hybrid. She gets to the studio lot and her bag turns upside down. She trips on a step. And her possessions fall out all over the floor. You know, that it was funny. Then she goes into the studio. I didn't pick it up from there. I was going to do it today, but I don't know. I was going to add when she gets home what she does, because I know that in Hollywood they're using green tea enemas now. So I may have had the coffee enema wrong. I was off by a little bit. So I was going to conclude the day with a green tea enema. I mean, this is the mentality of these people. Group sex at night, drugs, you name it. Then in the morning they detox. And they eat a vegan diet to show how pure they are. It's unbelievable to me. And when you think about the images that they're using to pollute the world with, you can understand why people are going crazy in the Middle East. You have to remember something. The Middle Easterners who hate us the most are the most conservative religiously and politically in their own worlds. The reason they hate America is precisely because of the imagery that the inchworms in Hollywood are sending out to the world. They don't want their daughters doing what they show the daughters of America doing. They don't want their sons sleeping with their fraternity brother at Harvard. You understand what I'm saying to you, that you may have it all wrong. The reason we're hated in the Arab world may not so much be for our political orientation or political beliefs, rather, or political policies or our policies. It's for our social policies. And so who creates the images of our social policies? Hollywood. That's why I ridicule them on a daily basis. Why do you think I have such a vendetta and I use sarcasm against Ratzenberg? Why do I do that? It's to get under their skin. Because I think they're going to destroy the whole world. The images that they create in Hollywood, in the idea factories, the image factories, are images of America that are actually a distortion of America. This is not really representative of the real America. The real America is represented not by Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein, enacted, let's say, by Woody Allen or whoever. That's not the real America. Yet that's the America that the Arab world sees, and they go insane. They go so insane over it that they're willing to die for it. Now, that's not justifying the kidnappings, the murders, the beheadings, and setting people on fire. Don't put me in that category. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying to you that there are ramifications for this imagery, this anti-Christian imagery, this anti-male imagery. Take a look at the ads on television. How many ads have you seen recently with a kind of strong-looking white male? Answer, none. The ad factories produce images of the weakling white man. He had pizza falls on himself. He walks outside, the lawnmower runs over his foot, right? Why? Why are they always showing the white male as a weakling? Do you actually think the white male is that weak? The white male who built America? The white male who got us to the moon? The white male who defeated Superman in World War II? The white man going back to Abraham's Lincoln's time who freed the slaves? Do you actually think the white male is a weakling? You're mistaken. Take a look at our special forces. Take a look at our Green Berets. Take a look at our military per se. I'm talking about the combat military. I'm not talking about the other military, the fake military. No, my friends, you haven't even seen the real white male, because Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Weinstein don't ever want you to see the real white male. Now, we know that the military has been degraded under Obama. We learned yesterday that China has actually passed us in the number of submarines floating beneath the waters. Did you know that? Because Obama has so deballed and decimated the military, and I include the Navy, China has now surpassed us in the number of submarines that they've launched. Does that worry you at all? Do you fear the worst now that the stooges on the FCC have adopted the so-called net neutrality bill? Now, after net neutrality, what is next for this government to try and take over? Speaking of guns, Obama has backdoor gun control on the nation. He targeted the top-selling AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle by banning the manufacture of its bullets. Why? What do you think he's? Why do you think that the liberals in government fear the AR-15 with this type of ammunition? There's only one reason. They have 2 billion rounds of hollow point 9mm ammunition given out to their own troops. Which troops? Not our military. No, given out to the domestic military that Obama has been building slowly over the last 6 years. What is it that you think this government fears the most? Do I have to finish that question for you? Now, is it too late to do anything to stop this imperial president? What will it take for the uniformed men and women of America for them to figure out what this administration is doing to them and their families? Here's the last question of the day before I take your calls. What will the world look like in the next 5 years after this administration has helped Iran get the bomb? That's a very sobering question. You know, of course, that Kerry and Obama, through the good offices of Valerie Jarrett, have been enabling the Iranians to develop a nuclear weapon or two. Why? Why do you think they're working around the clock to throw mud in our eyes about Iran's development of a nuclear weapon? Because the opposition in Iran, I know this is something beyond the average person, there are oppositions to the mullah fascists of Iran. And at great risk to themselves, they have exposed the fact that the Iranian mullahs have developed a nuclear weapon already in an underground nuclear facility that has not been seen by so-called inspectors from the United Nations. And yet all along, this thing called Kerry assures us that he's working against Iran's development of a weapon. All along, the Frankenstein in the White House has told us that Iran will never get the bomb, all the while he spits in the face of the Jews in Israel. Now, when I say spits in the face of the Jews in Israel by spitting at Netanyahu and helping Iran, I don't mean Jews like Woody Allen and Larry David, that type. They are gynos. They've always hated the state of Israel. To them, it doesn't even mean anything. You have to understand that there's an entire segment of the Jewish population that are not really Jews. They're Jews in name only. They don't believe in the Torah. They don't believe in the Bible. They laugh at Christians, and they laugh at Jews who believe in a so-called invisible God. So why is it that Obama feels he can continuously degrade Israel and enable Iran? Because the Jewish liberal Do you remember last week's interview with Donald Trump? Remember he was on the show? He even said to me, he has many friends, billionaires who are Jewish, who give money to Obama despite Obama's contempt for Israel. And he says, he asked them why, and they don't have an answer. I said, Donald, I wrote a book in 2005 entitled Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. It was written not in jest, Donald. There's a high degree of mental illness amongst liberals. You may not know that. And he shrugged it off. He really didn't say anything. He couldn't. You know, he's a politician. I hope he does run, because I think he truly would make for a great president. But when I wrote Liberalism is a Mental Disorder back in 2005, it wasn't tongue-in-cheek. Not at all. You want to hear some of the jacket copy from 2005? And I'm not going to make any money if you bought a copy somewhere, if you can even find it. Are you ready? On Iraq's future, this I wrote in 2005, Iraq cannot become a melting pot as long as it insists on a national religion, especially when that religion is Islam, which has zero tolerance for those with nonconforming views. On rousing the sleeping giant. Well, yeah, that didn't happen. The ACLU, the head of the snake is the American Civil Liberties Union, which fashions itself as the de facto fourth branch of government. Let's see what else Michael Savage said. Well, there was an awful lot in there. How about this? Alien invasion. Do we have an alien invasion in America right now? Do you still hear English being spoken in your neighborhood? No. I wrote fictional characters about aliens in this country. And I talked about illegal aliens who, by definition, have no right to be inside our country. Well, that fell on deaf ears. And then I wrote this, Hands Across America. Take the lower number of 12 million illegals. That was a fake number even then. I said it was more like 35 to 40 million illegals. Right? And then I said I'm the son of an immigrant, so I'm not an immigrant basher. But I said there's a right and a wrong way to go about migration. And I said what's happening to our borders is beyond disgraceful. It's a recipe for national self-destruction. And I said, don't get all weepy with me about how these millions of illegals are just hardworking Mexicans looking to feed and deliver their impoverished families from their grinding privation of their backward homeland. Oh, I'm all for people improving their lot. But consider this. If millions of illegal aliens can cross into our country unmolested every year, is it such a stretch to believe drug traffickers and terrorists could do the same thing? Tragically, slipping across our poorly staffed and often unmonitored borders is a breeze for any narco traffickers or terrorists seeking to avoid detection or recognition at our airports, seaports, and bus and train terminals. Is this paranoia? Are these scare tactics? Hardly. And I gave you the facts on that. And this was in 2005. And so it's gotten worse, not better. And I called it chronic insanity. Because our leaders have known about this for years, and yet they're enabling it. And I wrote about that then in 2005. I wrote about the lack of any compassion for America by liberals. And here we are now. It's gotten much worse than it was then. Driver's licenses, Medicare, Medicaid, free school lunches, college grants, tax rebates of $35,000 per illegal family. It's all part of the No Illegal Alien Left Behind program that has now emerged in America. You know that back in 2005, treating uninsured illegal aliens cost this country $2.2 billion a year? Did you know that? Here's some old figures for you. It cost $2 billion to lock up illegals in prisons. It cost us $2 billion in Medicaid. It cost us $2.2 billion in uninsured medical costs. It cost us $1.4 billion in federal aid to schools. It cost us $1.9 billion in food stamps, WIC, and free school lunches. And that was 10 years ago. How are we going to afford this now? Did you know that Muhammad Atta, one of the 9/11 masterminds, was stopped by a policeman but was not detained because he possessed and displayed a valid driver's license, even though he was essentially an illegal alien with an expired visa? Huh? Well, you get the picture. We were stabbed in the back. This country has been stabbed in the back, and it's on the way down. And what can we do about it? That's why many people have tuned out of talk radio. I look at the ratings. I realize that most Americans don't listen to radio anymore, talk radio. It's not that they're stupid. It's not that people are stupid. You'd be mistaken if you think people tuned out of talk radio because they're stupid. These audiences were once much larger than they are now, and I'll be the first to admit it. So why exactly have so many people stopped listening to talk radio? I have pretty good numbers. I'm not complaining. I can give you example after example. In the heart of the monster itself, in Washington, D.C., my show is broadcast on the most powerful station in that city, WMAL. I have a 3.5 share in the coveted 25 to 54 demo. Do you know how astonishing that is in this day and age? Do you know how large a 3.5 share is in the heart of Washington, D.C.? Now, why is it that I have such large ratings in Washington, D.C.? It's because they're not used to hearing the unvarnished truth in that city. Everything is a lie. Everything is parsed. Everything is run through 18 sieves. Everything comes out of the mouths of a PR agent. And when they hear a man speaking from the heart, saying it the way he sees it, and it's only one man's opinion. I have no authority. I have no power. I don't have a vote. I'm just a man. I'm nobody. And yet the people want to hear it. Why do they want to hear it? Because it's raw. It's unvarnished. It's real. And so many millions of people have had enough of the lies of these politicians, these silk-smooth politicians. They want to hear something real. But getting to the bigger point of why have so many people stopped listening to talk radio who are not stupid, the answer is because they're frustrated. They say, yes, I know it's bad. Yes, I know that the government is run by a bunch of thieves and gangsters, but what the heck can I do about it? And on that note, I'll take a quick break.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. How did I, a lower middle class boy from Queens, New York, wind up where I am today, thinking the way I think today, speaking the way I think today, seeing things the way I think today? How did this happen? That's a long story, which I can't do in less than 2 minutes. Cannot do. I wouldn't even attempt to do it. I'll give you a little thumbnail sketch, because people don't understand it. They say you sound like them, but you're not like them. How's that possible? Well, as an immigrant son, let me tell you something. I know what hard work is. I know very well what hard work is. I also know what self-respect is, and I also know what the welfare state has done to this nation. Also know what it will do to this nation unless it's curtailed. That's number one. But in terms of a personal story, I'm not going to give you the whole story in a minute and 24 seconds. It began when I decided I wanted to be a college teacher, and I went back to school. And with two children, I worked for 20 years to earn my Ph.D. from a great university with an almost 4.0 index, they call it. I got all straight A's except one B in one course. Published my dissertation in a major journal, and they wouldn't hire me because I was not a minority, was not a woman, was not an immigrant. And I spent years trying to get a job, and they wouldn't hire me. In fact, the ACLU stepped in and said, white males are simply going to have to learn to put their careers on hold so others may advance. Well, now, lesser men would have cracked from the stress I was under. They would have broken. They would have given up and done something else. But I got angry and angrier and angrier and angrier, and I was forged in that cauldron into a new man. I was made into a man of steel. And I think I'll pause at that juncture, because I remember who did it to me. And as they say, what's the last thing an Irishman with Alzheimer's forgets? His enemies. Well, it's not limited to Irishmen, let me tell you that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You don't know where to turn in a situation like this where you have no representative government. And when you see a madman who's out of control, raging out of control, step by step, step by step, drip, 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 day by day, step by step, the worst instincts of the radical left in America is being enacted in front of our eyes, step by step, day by day. Now he's on an express train now. For 6 years, he was on a slow step, acting like the nice guy, just trying to make America a better place, trying to help women, trying to help minorities, make it a safer place, step by step. Then all of a sudden, you wake up, and what happened? Exactly what I told you in Stop the Coming Civil War is going to happen in the last 2 years. Now being mouthed by those in talk radio who don't really know what's going on but read my books or have their producers write their scripts for them because they don't know what's really going on. They're so close to the inner circle that they are the inner circle. I'm a man alone. I'm just sitting on the outskirts here looking in. I'm a true outsider. I don't live in Washington. I don't live in New York. I'm not invited on Fox News. I'm not a regular commentator anywhere. I don't have any friends in talk radio. I am a man alone. I'm an ordinary American. So I watch it and I see it melting down so rapidly that I withdraw, frankly. I'm withdrawn. I'm just withdrawn. Now, this came to me a minute ago. It's not even up on the Drudge Report yet. And here it is. Loretta Lynch's Secret Prosecutions by Johnny Dwyer. The office headed by the woman poised to become the next attorney general has used an unusual method to keep many of its prosecutions hidden from the public. An NBC News investigation has found, listen to this, that's NBC no less. Federal prosecutors in New York's Brooklyn-based Eastern District pursued cases against secret unnamed John Doe defendants 58 times since Loretta Lynch became head prosecutor in May 2010. Only two of the 58 are terrorism cases. Did you hear this? Now, this is the woman who would be attorney general. She's using a method used by the Stasi that had been used by the Stasi in East Germany before the Iron Wall came. What was it called? The Iron Wall came down. A secret prosecutor, secret police. This is typical of the entire Obama administration. They're like the Stasi on steroids. Secret police, secret actions, secret maneuvers, and now we see that the woman poised to become the next attorney general was using secret prosecutions to bring charges against 58 John Doe defendants when only two of the 58 were terrorism cases. But just as the RICO statute had been overused, you know, the RICO statute was created by Rudy Giuliani or around his time to bring down the mafia, remember? The Racketeering Influence Corrupt Organization statute. But then it was broadened and applied not just to organized criminals, but to ordinary people. And in the same manner, the anti-terrorism laws that were put in place, the DHS itself, in fact, which was created to prevent or to protect us from terrorists, has been so broadened and expanded that all of us now are living with a secret police apparatus in America. Yeah, I get it. You know that. What can you do about it? Keep your nose clean, go to work, pay your taxes, and pray to God that you get through another day. I get it. I know that's how you feel, and that's why you like the show, because I'm known to jump off the political express train and go to a local where there's entertainment. Well, here's an entertainment-related story. Robert De Niro socked with $6.4 million IRS tax lien. Feds are dunning performer over his 2013 individual tax return. The IRS has hit Robert De Niro with a $6.4 million tax lien. In a notice sent to the New York City's Department of Finance, the IRS reports that the 71-year-old De Niro owes the whopping bill in connection with his personal 1040 filing for 2013. He owes $6.4 million, and the hefty assessment was lodged against De Niro 3 months ago. I don't understand this at all. Well, why would the IRS go after him? He's one of their libs in good standing. He loves Obama. He supports Obama. He's a good liberal. Let me read the document, see what's on it. De Niro's, do you care about this? De Niro's tax lien? What did he do wrong? Notice of federal tax lien. 114 Hudson Street, New York, New York. $6.4 million, a big number. And they're going after, here's a guy who's a good liberal in good standing. Why? Tell me why. He loves big government. He loves Democrats. Al Sharpton has committed the same kind of offense against the administration. Why can't he use the Al Sharpton defense? Oh, I get it. He's Italian. Al Sharpton has an advantage over him. And he can't bring crowds of people outside the... But, you know, Robert De Niro shouldn't be upset by this because he's a good liberal and he's into repeating the big government line and he's into saying that it's unfair, there's unfairness, and the 0.1% shouldn't have what they have. So, looks, Mr. De Niro, I like your movies, and it's just called Spreading the Wealth. And just think about this, Mr. De Niro. With each illegal alien going to receive $35,000 in tax rebates, you're going to be personally be funding 182 of them. So, Mr. De Niro, think of it that way. It's just income redistribution. That's what it comes down to. I mean, he's openly supported Obama, Gore, Clinton, Kerry. He's into global warming in the middle of a snowstorm. He gave $70,000 to the Democrats. So why do you think they're going after him? I wonder why they went after De Niro. He gets this notice 3 months ago for 2013 taxpayers. Pay up or they're going to take your property. Now, exactly how many years has Al Sharpton owed the IRS, the taxpayers, millions of dollars? Why is Al Sharpton's property not being done by the IRS? Why? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. Because he's another liberal Democrat like Al Sharpton who wants to tax you to pay for their beloved welfare state. And yet they went after him as well. I don't know. Maybe you can call up Al Sharpton and get a crowd outside his apartment. And somehow it'll go away. You know, something liberals haven't learned, which is that no matter how you go out of your way to appease a dictatorship, they're going to come at you anyway. It's the truth. They all think they're going to get some kind of protection by being, you know, one of them, but they don't. Well, anyway, what's the big deal? It's only a fair tax, Mr. De Niro. Or could it be that he said something that upset the president? He must have said something that upset the president. Or, I don't know. I don't. Does anyone have an idea why they're going after Robert De Niro? Did he say anything conservative? Did he say anything to inflame Obama? Did he say anything that might have had them go after him? I don't know, because this doesn't make sense to me. 855-407-282. What do you want to talk about the other topics? Am I rambling today? Do I feel like I'm rambling, Robert? I'm rambling a little bit, a little bit. I feel it. I feel like I'm wavering from subject to subject. In some ways, that's good, because the average listener doesn't follow what you say anyway. The average listener has no logical faculties anyway. The average listener can't follow an argument anyway. The average listener tunes in and tunes out anyway. So what's the difference if I'm rambling? By rambling along from subject to subject and bouncing them around with no logical connection, I may actually reach a larger audience. I'm trying something new. I'm seeing if I can be not logical. See, if I don't project my steel mind every day and stay hard-focused on Aristotelian logic, I think my audience will triple since America is so scattered today. Let me take some scattered calls on the Savage Nation, some scattershot calls. We'll start with line number 555. Go ahead, please. Name, station, topic.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, my name is Zer. I'm calling you from New York City. I listen to you on WABC. Dr. Savage, I was calling to you today real quick in hopes of getting you to maybe stop misrepresenting history quite as much as you do, specifically American history, Dr. Savage. Especially when it comes to those commonly referred to as African Americans today in everyday parlance and discourse. Dr. Savage.
Well, so far you haven't said anything other than said I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. Give me the fact and we'll discuss it.
Okay, two things real quick. I heard you say something today and I heard you say something last week. Today you said that something about the white man got us to the moon or something like that. Dr. Savage, if you were to look into NASA a little deeper, you would see that there was considerable African-American presence.
So you mean African-Americans were astronauts, only I didn't know it in the beginning? I missed that part of history.
No. I'm not even talking about the six or eight.
And most of the engineers who designed and launched the rocket were African-Americans?
I didn't say most. Could I finish? I didn't say.
Well, you made your point. You're distorting history by trying to correct history.
No, sir. I'm not. I'm not distorting it.
No one is diminishing the contribution of others to NASA, but the predominant representation of NASA when it was a great agency were white males. Everyone knows that.
Dr. Savage, can I say something? Dr. Savage,
many... Why must everybody who says any word about reality suddenly bend their knee to the new America that's being projected by people like you? What is it about the reality that you don't like about America? Tell me what your real enmity is here. What's the problem?
No, I'm a junior historian, Dr. Savage.
Well, you are a junior historian. I know that. That's for sure.
I was a speech and theater in college.
Well, that's for sure also.
Writer and an actor, but I do liken myself kind of a junior historian.
Well, that's right. You are a junior historian.
I say junior because I didn't study in college.
No, of course not. What you're doing here is projecting the college view of everything, which is that if you say one word about what white males have contributed to the world, you automatically have to add every other race.
No, doctor, I said there was considerable presence. I didn't say 90% of the scientists there.
Let's make your fact. You say considerable presence of African Americans in NASA when the moon was when we launched a rocket to the moon. What percentage of NASA scientists were African American at that time?
I don't know the percentage, Dr. Savage.
Well, but you said you're a historian, and you say I'm wrong. So what is the percentage?
You know what? I'll never claim ever that I know everything. I'm always learning.
All right, but you're offended by the fact that you wish that the representation were higher.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I'm not wishing. I know what it is, and it is.
Have you ever heard me read a list of white male inventions? Did that offend you?
I heard that, and some of those were mistakes.
Oh, but you're a junior historian. So which one of the white male inventions that I mentioned were mistaken?
Well, Dr. Sam, it's so deep. Well, one thing...
No. Go back to the statement. I did a whole show on white male inventions, and I read a list of all of them. And you said I was mistaken in misrepresenting the facts. Well, which ones were not invented by white males?
History is more complicated than that, Mr. Fox.
No, you're not answering the question. Don't give me a university answer. Please, you're alleging that I'm making a false statement or two on this show. I'm giving you the opportunity to show me where I'm mistaken.
Okay, you said white men invented the airplane, right?
No, I never said that.
Oh, you...
No, I didn't say that. That's part of your mind. I said the white male got us to the moon. That's exactly what I said.
Right, today that's what you said. Right, and I'm calling to tell you just to put out there that there was considerable African-American presence. And not only that, Dr. Savage.
Wait, hold on. You're going back to your original statement. I'm asking you again. What percentage of NASA scientists were of African-American descent at the time that we launched the rocket to the moon? What was the percentage?
Dr. Savage, I don't know the percentage. Maybe
so what are you making statements that you can't support for? You think I'm just going to say amen, thank you?
No.
I'm not in a theater group with you bending down and bowing down to you because you made a statement.
I don't want you to bow down to me, Dr. Savage.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That's what you got used to under Obama.
I'm sick of it.
I'm just sick of it. You know, what's fair is fair. What people do is what people do. And what contributions are made are what contributions are made. And I don't care what the race is. I've said 1,000 times that the University of California, if it became 100% Chinese, I'd be behind it if they earned it. But you know what? Chinese Americans are being excluded from admission to the University of California because they do too well in school. Do you know that?
I do know that, and that's not right.
Well, is that fair? Is that fair that they have to let in minorities who don't do as well and exclude Chinese the way they excluded Caucasians? Is that going to be a greater America?
If they sacrifice and they ace the test, they should get it. If the African American kids want to party four times a month every weekend, but the Asian kids, they study 3 of those 4 weekends and they get in and they get the...
All right, you've had your fun on the radio. All right, thank you very much. You're going in circles just to hear yourself talk. I know you're in the theater arts. Look, my intent is not to insult people. My intent is to talk about reality because everything is so warped and distorted under Obama that people are afraid to talk the truth about anything anymore. Everything has to have an element of color put into it. I don't want to hear everything has to have an element of a man's ethnicity put into it. I'm talking about excellence, and here's my bottom line on this. Without quality, there can be no equality. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. You know, nations die in many ways. And one of the ways that nations die is through reassignment surgery. They rewrite history. They make things happen that didn't happen by rewriting history. So when I tell you that trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, and fax machines are all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other dead white males. You better pay careful attention. Pay very careful attention. Very, very careful attention. Very, very careful attention to what I'm trying to tell you. Because you can curse all white males if you wish. It'll change nothing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
Did you hear what you just heard? Did you hear what Frankenstein just said? He said that if Congress wants to vote on what he's doing with regard to illegal immigration, is legal or not. He said, go ahead and vote, but I'll veto the vote because I know I'm right. He's a madman. He's a madman. He's just a madman. Do you understand that we have an absolute dictatorship now? He said, no matter what you vote on, I'll veto it anyway. Even if you vote that I'm illegal, I'll vote on that. I'll say that's invalid. So how in the world can you not see that he's a Frankenstein? You know, yesterday I had a caller who called the show yesterday, who said she resents that I call him Frankenstein. What should I call him? Tell me what I should call him. A fair-minded leader? A man who has the best interests of the Constitution in mind? The man is a Frankenstein. He's a creation of the radical left. He's a creation of George Soros, and he's become a total Frankenstein to those of us in America who want a body of laws and the rule of law. If you have a man functioning outside the law, is that not a Frankenstein? Did you hear what he just said? He just said that he'll veto a vote on whether or not what he's doing is legal. And he dared Republicans to vote on it. And he says, even if you have the vote, I will veto it. Because I'm confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do. This is exactly what you'd hear in a dictatorship. And yet the inchworms applaud. Listen to this carefully again.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
I rest my case. We have an absolute dictatorship. The man is a Frankenstein. I stand by my words. We've witnessed the emerging of a Frankenstein in the White House. He called, by the way, he went further. He called the political process a separate track from him. He believes he has the authority to do anything he wishes. And the politicians can work on little things. He's got to work on the big stuff. How do you feel waking up to know that you have a naked dictator in the White House? I mean, he hasn't done anything yet, really, that has gone overboard, that'll affect the average man, other than saying he's going to flood America with 30, 50, 60 million illegal aliens, many of whom can collect a $35,000 check. That's nothing. Just end the military. You know, that would be the standard lies from the left, that if we ended the military, there'd be plenty of money for everything else. Now, this is in a time when there's a rampage, a blitzkrieg in the Middle East by the Islamofascists called ISIS. They want the military further downsized. Now he says the political process is a separate track. And we're going to just keep on going. And whatever he wants to do, he'll do. Let me take some calls and see what you think about this. Line number six, go ahead, please. Tell us your name, station, and topic.
Name is Mike. It's WMAL. And I just wanted to follow up on the previous conversation you had about white males' contributions. You are, in fact, correct. It was actually Germany that we got our scientists and engineers from to help us to get into space.
That I'm aware of. I know. We took Wernher von Braun from Hitler, and he created our rocket program.
Got a number of them as well. That's why they were able.
And by the way, the Soviets took the other. The Russians and the Americans divided up the German scientists. I'm aware of that.
Correct. The only thing that I wanted to add to that was, you know, we do have great minds in this country who happen to be African American. Unfortunately, a lot of them weren't given the opportunity years ago. That's probably one of the reasons why we don't have these great minds. Involved in our society. Most of them, unfortunately.
No, we have a great mind now in the White House, don't we?
Oh.
And don't we have a great mind in Eric Holder? Look at the great minds we have now.
Well.
We're about to have. We have another great mind in this woman who's going to become the Attorney General. She works in secrecy. Isn't that the mark of a great mind?
Well, I guess that's a matter of opinion. But my point is that. You know, a lot of the blacks, African Americans now, they seem to think that the fast track is to follow the sports, go after sports, not to go into engineering or science.
No, it wasn't my point to degrade or make someone angry about their race. My point was quite different, which is that most of the inventions that we are enjoying in our life today were developed by white males.
You're absolutely correct, but
I don't have to go beyond that. I'm saying if you want to degrade the white male and keep putting him down, what kind of world are we going to inherit? Where will we be in 20 or 30 years keeping this up? Making the white boy feel like he's worthless. Making the white boy feel like he's evil. Making the white boy feel like he doesn't even have the right to live. That's what goes on in our universities run by these psychopaths. Do you have any idea what they do to these kids in school today?
Imagine. I can only imagine. But we're not going to get anywhere degrading either races or...
I'm not degrading any race, but I'm sick and tired of the white boy being run into the dirt.
I agree, because I'm one.
Now, I happen to know about other contributions by other societies or races or peoples. I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder. But frankly, they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. And I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America. I know about the zero that the Arabs gave us. But would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? That was Aristotle in the 5th century BC, used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. And from the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on the scientific knowledge. And in modern times, these ideas were developed by such Europeans as Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them dreaded white males. And we have universities today who teach courses in white privilege. Every day the children are being told to be ashamed for being of European descent. Every day they're run off the rails. Every day they're told to be ashamed of themselves. In fact, an African-American woman professor was fired 2 weeks ago or so for telling the kids that white children should just kill themselves. She told them to just commit suicide for their evils. This is how far it's going. And I'm telling you it's time to put a stop to this insanity, because we'll all suffer as a result. It's that simple. That's came up, and that's where I went with it. That's all. If I'm wrong, then it was Volta, Ampere, Watts, Bell, Edison, and Einstein who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today, then correct me. That's all. Line number seven. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Hellcat. This is Mark.
Yes. What's up? Oh, please, go ahead. Make your point.
Well, I believe that the Commander-in-Chief is more of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He campaigned as Dr. Jekyll, the astute college Harvard gentleman, and he's governing and destroying our country as Mr. Hyde. And
yeah, but he doesn't care what we think. He just said that you can vote on whether what I do is legal or illegal, and I'll veto that vote. So what he just said is drop dead. I'm a dictator. I'll do what I want. He just said that.
I agree. I understand, but I'm just saying.
So they have to impeach him. They have to impeach him and not vote anymore like a bunch of sissies. If they impeach him, he can't veto the impeachment.
Would you agree based on his performance?
No, let me go on. Let me go on. I don't even want to go back and forth right now. Listen to me. Let me be very clear. If they impeach Obama, and there are many, many reasons they can impeach him, and I said this before and I'll say it again. If there is no single act which he committed, which rises to the level of a crime or a misdemeanor worthy of impeachment, the collective body of his actions and policies, when put together as a whole, constitute high crimes and misdemeanors and can therefore qualify for an impeachment hearing. Now you say, well, there's no chance in the world that this cowardly Congress would ever impeach him. That is true. But I will tell you that the exposure of his extrajudicial actions to the American public and the world would put a damper on the man's mania. It would stop him from his further acts of treason. That's my opinion, and that's why the impeachment hearing would be so important. Now, you're never going to get that from a McConnell or from a Boehner, will you? Doesn't mean that I can't express what I think to be a truth, because only the truth can set us free. Somebody has to say it like it is. Now, remember who we are in talk radio. We're nobody. We don't think we're somebody. I'm nobody. I don't give any speeches. I don't go before cheering crowds. I don't have any big following outside of radio. I don't go in here cheering crowds. I'm not hoping to get an appointment. I'm not hoping to get a job from this. I'm not hoping to run for office. No, I'm way past that in my life. Luckily, I'm a little older, so none of that really is in front of me. It's all behind me. So what is it I'm trying to achieve by putting myself at risk every day by taking on this dictatorship? What is it? Tell me what it is. Well, I have children. I have a grandchild. I don't want them living in a despised nation, a nation that's destroyed from within. I don't want them seeing a country that was once great destroyed by a single madman. Remember the power of a single madman. A single madman can destroy an entire country. Just as there's a single man could come along who could create something so great that it saves humanity or advances humanity. I can give you one scientific invention after another or a medical advancement that has given humanity so much. One person can make a huge difference for the positive, and one person can make a huge difference for the negative. And I would argue that we have a man in the White House who was so out of control with such a raging egomania right now that we're bordering on an insanity. I really think that he's borderline insane if he hasn't crossed the line. And I'm going to prove it to you again. I want you to listen to what he says again in clip 24. These are the words not of a reasonable politician who has the best interests of an entire nation at heart, but listen carefully and tell me what you think.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
Sieg Heil. Sieg Heil. Sieg Heil. The inchworms applaud on MSNBC. That was a setup thing on MSNBC for illegal immigrants. It was all illegals with some the white communists in the audience. And he said he doesn't care what anyone says or what they vote on. He's going to do what he wants because he thinks he's right. So he's just saying he doesn't care what the law is. He knows he's right. That's all that matters. Now, if that's not the mark of a dictatorship, and I really don't care what your race is, what your orientation is politically, do you understand the new ground that he has established here? You know, the last I heard anything like this was in my history readings when one of the presidents in the 1800s, it was, when was this? It was right after the Civil War, I believe. I think it was one of the Johnson presidents. He said, now that the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce. Meaning, I have the army, they have nothing. The Supreme Court had ruled against him. And we had a dictator at that time who said, now that the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce. Meaning, he was saying he had the army, they had nothing. That's when we had a dictatorship emerge in the U.S. at that time. And now we have a madman who is so drunk on his own power that he's saying, I don't care what Congress votes on, whether they vote what I'm doing is illegal or not, I'll do it anyway because I know I'm right. Same thing. So where is the Supreme Court on this? Why hasn't an organization brought a case against this man, which can be judged by the Supreme Court as to his legality? What would he say at that point? Now that the Supreme Court has ruled, let them enforce? I think so. And that's why I exist. That's what gets me motivated every day on the radio. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CON.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
He's nakedly just said that he is now a dictator. He's conducted a coup. He just said that. He just said, I performed a coup. I am now the absolute ruler. There is no Congress. Congress can't touch me. That's what he just said. Now, if a Republican president had said anything like this, he would be impeached immediately, prosecuted, convicted, and placed in prison for treason. We are now entering the final phase of Obama's reign of terror. He just said it. He just said, go ahead and make my day. He just said, I'm above the law. Did you hear it? I mean, any which way you want to spin it, I don't care whether you're a liberal. It doesn't matter what you are. He has just changed the rules of the game. Now, you may be cheering right now saying it's long overdue. Well, let me ask you something. What's going to happen if he does leave office in 2 years and there is a Republican president and a Republican president says, well, if Nancy Pelosi, it's assuming she's still there, or the speaker, a leader of the Senate, whoever that might be, wants to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal, they can have that vote, but I'll veto that vote because I'm confident that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. Well, you'd say, wait a minute now, that's terrible. That's terrible. It means that that's a dictatorship. It's a power grab. You understand? What we have now is a third world presidency, acting like a third world president. This is what Hussein Obama is doing. He's fundamentally operating as though he is running a third world nation somewhere in South America. He is running it as though he is a third world president. This is what yields corruption. This is what brought about the misery experienced by the people of the third world. When you have no checks and balances, what you have is absolute power. And when you have absolute power, you have absolute corruption. Obama has just declared himself dictator of America. He just said to elected officials, judges, military, who have all taken an oath to protect this country and the Constitution, you have no power over me. That's what he just said. And if Bush sneezed for 8 years, if Bush sneezed, the inchworms on the left would go crazy. If Bush sneezed, the cretins on the left would go berserk. But now that Soros's money and Obama's third world mentality and his constant stream of filthy lies about everything is pouring forth from him, we are seeing what is coming. We now have a dictatorship. He just said so. He said, stop me if you can. I'll override it by any means necessary. What can you do about it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
He has just declared that he is a dictator. He just said Congress can drop dead. He just said that he'll do what he wants to do. You can vote any way you want, and I'll veto the vote. Do you have any idea what just happened to you? Now, in the last hour on this program, I cited a case from 1832. I was mistaken. I thought it was President Johnson. It was President Andrew Jackson in 1832, and it was about the Indian Removal Act. The Congress had voted to exchange Indian lands in the East for new lands in the West. And the agreements were supposed to be negotiated with the Indians, but many Indian tribes refused to agree. And then they were forcibly removed from their land by the U.S. government. The Cherokees of Georgia attempted to resist their removal in a very special way. They filed suit against the state of Georgia, which was trying to remove them, in the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court, under the stewardship of Chief Justice Marshall, ruled in favor of the Native Americans, the Indians, and ordered the president to protect the Indians. So just like Obama, the president responded. He said, John Marshall, meaning the Supreme Court, has made his decision. Now let him enforce it. Meaning, I have the military. He can go do whatever he wants. So Obama just said the same thing. Obama said, well, you can have a vote on whether what I do is legal or not, but it doesn't matter because I know I'm right. And because I know I'm right, the law doesn't matter. I'm above the law. So we've now entered an era in America that we've seen before. It wasn't a pretty time in history. And we're seeing it again now with a madman who's out of control. He is a Frankenstein of the left. A Frankenstein of the left, and there doesn't seem to be any opposition, which is why he's getting more brazen. I told you this would happen, and I told you that bullies operate this way. Obama is the classic narcissistic bully. Do you understand how this works? He tests an opponent in minor ways. And when the opponent doesn't react, he raises the stakes. He keeps raising the stakes. And he does something more brazen. It's like you push a guy and you see what he does to you and you just give him a shove. If he doesn't shove you back, you push him a little further. And he doesn't lift a hand, you push him harder. You know, and doesn't fight back, you push him harder. Doesn't fight back, you throw him on his behind. Obama is right now acting like a bully, a schoolyard bully. You say, well, okay, that's what he's doing, but is it to the betterment of America for him to act this way? And what is the precedent that he's setting? What is he doing here? Is he setting a good precedent for America, boys and girls? Make believe you're in a school, in a classroom, and a president just said Congress can do anything they want, they can vote on whether what I do is legal, but I will veto that vote. Do you understand what he just said? He just said that I am going to do what I want because I'm right. So now that means we have a precedent where a president can do what he wants without regard to the law. So now we have a lawless president, which sets a precedent for the next lawless president. Yes or no, infidels? Okay, let's take some callers. Line number four. Four it is. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, this is Jay calling from WMAL, home of Buttcrack Obama and $18 trillion of debt. I say, forget the impeachment. We need to go with a recall election. We already have case law, Walker versus Wisconsin. We have Gray versus California. They had recall election of their chief executive. That's the direction we need to go. It's faster than an impeachment.
What would it take to have a national recall election on this man?
I believe it's a petition of Congress, but you might need to check on some more details of that. But
I haven't heard that. I'm sure. Did you hear this discussed on another talk show?
No, it's actually I brought it up because all I hear is impeachment. I don't hear recall election, and those two cases that I cited have established.
Yeah, but I don't know of any case where a president has ever been recalled. Do you?
No, but there.
No, but we've never had a dictator before. I hear you.
True. Also, I wanted to say, if you want to have some comedy relief every time Obama talks, play Spike Jonze, Der Führer. The Führer's face. I think that'd be some good comedy.
Yeah, but you see, the man doesn't fit the stereotype of the Führer. That's why he gets away with it. He is so clever that instead... Now, I want you to listen to that speech for him. Don't play it. What if he did this speech screaming and yelling? Why? People would hear he's a bad guy, right? but because he knows this is a feminized America where women are afraid of loud men, the man literally uses sly whispers to push his dictatorship. Listen to the measured tones in which this skilled liar announces his dictatorship. You got to hear it again. This is a speech that will live in infamy. This is one of the most infamous speeches you will ever hear in your life in 24. Listen to it again.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
He will veto the vote because he's confident that it's the right thing to do. So now he's saying it's one-man rule, as in a dictatorship. One-man rule. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gate freely, his sly whispers rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face in their arguments. He appeals to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of a nation. He works secretly and unknown in the night to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. Marcus Tullius Cicero, Roman orator and statesman, 42 BC, as quoted in many of my books, including Stop the Coming Civil War. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. When I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War, it was very controversial. The publisher was afraid of the book. They tried to change the title. I fought with them. I argued with them. I reasoned with them for six straight months. It was originally called The Coming Civil War, and I changed it to Stop the Coming Civil War. And the first page is quite telling, because the book is more relevant today than the day you bought it. And I'm going to say to you again, how about going out and buying another copy and giving it to someone who's finally awakened to what this man really is? Listen to what I wrote. Agree or not agree. People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long until they see a pattern of abuse of power. Then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. With the current government, this point of no return was reached for some when they slowly realized the extent of the vast NSA spying scandal. For others, it was the release of known Islamist terrorists from Gitmo without congressional knowledge. For most Americans, the flood of tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, purposely created by the administration to overwhelm our southern borders, was the final straw. Still other supporters kept justifying one extremist act after another, justifying the president's policies and actions with rationalizations that included saying that those who opposed them were, quote, right-wing conspirators, racists, Obama haters, and the like. Yet for those of us who study governments that have taken nations from freedom to fascism, the handwriting has been on the wall for many years. My question is this, I wrote, will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? Is this concern to be dismissed as a right-wing conspiracy? And then I wrote the book. The book is then 300-some-odd pages with over 50 pages of references of every crime and misdemeanor he has committed against this country. Do you understand what's gone on here? How this man is committing treason and openly telling you he's doing so? He's now almost stepped out of his camouflage suit. He's conducted a sort of guerrilla war against our Constitution from the day he entered the political theater. Now he's taken off the camouflage suit, and he's showing you the naked Obama. It's not a very pretty picture to look at. It's kind of ugly. I'm not talking about his physical looks. what he has just exhibited is quite ugly indeed. He said he is above the law. He said Congress has no relevance. And he said, do what you want. I'm going to do what I want, and I'll get away with it because I'm president. Is this the nation that you want your children to grow up in? Forget Obama. 2 years from now, we may have another president. It could be Hillary Clinton. It could be another Democrat, which I hope it could be, if not her. It could be a Republican like Ted Cruz. It could be Mr. Walker. Do you want them to say, oh, the Congress can vote on whether or not what I'm doing is legal, but I'll veto that because I'm absolutely confident that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. To the cheers of the Ku Klux Klan, perhaps. Because going on MSNBC with an audience of illegal aliens is the equivalent of the Ku Klux Klan, as far as I'm concerned. It's a segment of the population that is not representative of the main population. It's a skewed little audience of extremists who have special interests. Is this the kind of nation you want your children to grow up in? Is there anyone listening to this show from any side of the aisle who wants to live in a dictatorship where one-man rule is the norm? Where one man or one woman will decide what a nation, what the course of a nation shall be? It's never happened before. That's not how America runs. That's how a banana republic runs. It's how a hellhole runs. It's where most of the illegal aliens come from. That's how their countries run. This is what they want. You don't understand this. Many of them are not coming here for the shining light of democracy, the beacon of democracy, the beacon of liberty. They don't even know what it is. They've never lived with it. They're coming here because of the freebies they're getting. They're getting free handouts from this dictator. And he's trying to flood the country with as many of them as he can so that it will be a fait accompli for the rest of history. We'll enter into a phase of America that will have no precedent. A phase of dictatorship, one-party rule, one-man rule that we will never recover from. And it all happened last night. And it's all spinning on the one issue of illegal immigration. It's all turning on that one issue. Because if he can do what Jerry Brown has done in California, which is thwart and cripple the political process in a way that it can never recover from, granting licenses to illegal aliens so that the residents of the state of California can't even renew their licenses anymore. They can't get into the DMV. Jerry Brown is so anxious to vote in the millions of illegals so he has a guaranteed lock of a one-party system forever. Is that the nation you want to live in? A one-party system and one-man rule? Is that what you want? It's not what I want. And so I say to you, he nakedly exposed himself yesterday. He took his camouflage off. He took his mask off and he exposed himself for who he is. And the face that he exposed is rather ugly. Again, not in physical terms. But when you listen to him say that you can vote, Congress can vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, you can have that vote, but I'll veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what I'm doing is the right thing to do. Do you want one-man rule in America? What should the proper reaction be to this man's mania? I called him Frankenstein yesterday, and a third world immigrant called me angry. How dare you insult the president, she said. Well, madam, if you're listening today, and I don't know if you are or if you really work for the government, what country do you live in? We're allowed to insult our politicians because it's the last refuge we have. Our vote doesn't matter. Our vote has been nullified by them. And so the last thing we have is sarcasm, satire, and ridicule. It's the last refuge that we have. Would you have them outlaw sarcasm, satire, and ridicule, madam? As in your hellhole country that you came from, perhaps? Where it's a crime to ridicule the leader of your country, your corrupt banana republic? Is that what you want? You want that to be outlawed in this country? Because if you do that, we'll go back to the 1600s. You'll take the country backwards hundreds of years to another time in the history of man, a time when there were no freedoms, a time when the ruler was absolute, a time when the ruler had the powers over the people that led to the excesses which led to the reforms that we have enjoyed in this country until this dictator arrived on the scenes. And I'll remind those of you who are listening for the first time of a quote that I made from John Dryden from 1681 in my book from 2005 called The Political Zoo. The true end of satire is the amendment of vice by correction. And he who writes honestly is no more an enemy to the offender than the physician to the patient when he prescribes harsh remedies to an inveterate disease. 1681. And that's when the English writers used satire to try to control the offenders, the mad politicians of his time. Take a look where we are today. Is this what you want? Is this how you want to live? One man rule? Let's play clip 24 again. I want you to listen to this madman. He's out of control.
In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
Now, this is all about immigration. Earlier in 21, he threatens members of ICE that if they don't follow the policy of the Gestapo, there's going to be consequences for them. They must be good Germans. If he tells them to go to the concentration camp and push people into the ovens, if they don't follow orders, there are going to be consequences. Listen to 21.
The bottom line is that if somebody's working for ICE and there is a policy and they don't follow the policy, there are going to be consequences to it. So I can't speak to a specific problem. What I can talk about is what's true in the government generally. In the U.S. military, when you get an order, you're expected to follow it.
It
doesn't mean that everybody follows the order. If they don't, they've got a problem.
They don't follow orders, huh? Now, what was the defense in Germany when they were killing Jews and others in concentration camps? We were just following orders! Obama just said, you follow my orders! But he didn't snap his heels and he wasn't doing it in German. And the Horst Wessel song wasn't playing in the background.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
You know the old statement that the pen is mightier than the sword? Well, Barry Obama famously said that when it came to doing battle with the Republican Congress, that he has a phone and a pen. And he threatened to veto any legislation or lobby weak members of Congress in order to impose his fascistic views on everyone. And right after the Republicans fairly won the midterms by a landslide, Obama the dictator decided to go nuclear. And after the Republicans, actually the Republican cannots, signaled to him their weakness by claiming they would not shut down the government, the dictator enacted an executive order granting illegal alien criminals amnesty, and he dared Republicans to do something about it. They didn't. He neutered the weak Republicans in power, and they rolled over, letting it happen. And now that Obama has immigration out of the way, he's going after you. Just today, an Obama-packed FCC board approved a 322-page net neutrality set of regulations without anybody in the public having read a page of it. That's something that was done in the communist era. This will have a devastating effect on the transmission of news and information to you, the public. Obama used this unelected board under the guise of internet fairness to wrap up his control of not only online content, but eventually television and radio content. That's where this will lead. And on the same day that this maniac president of ours did this, he bypassed Congress again, issuing an executive order banning ammunition that is used in the AR-15 rifle. He knows he can't abolish the Second Amendment anyway, so he's doing everything he can to get around the Second Amendment. And again, not a peep from our so-called representative government. Let's be clear, we have few representatives at this time. They will not use the tools to stop this dictator that they have been provided by the Constitution. Now we go to Hillary Clinton herself, who yesterday endorsed the takeover of the internet by Obama's fascistic regime. On a strictly partisan vote, the communists on the FCC, handpicked by the Obama machine, voted 3-2 to have a takeover of the internet. Now, as I said to you yesterday, something that no one has stolen yet, because I think it went over their heads. Back in the 60s, one of the cultural heroes was Marshall McLuhan, a hero of the 60s and a leftist at that. And McLuhan's book was his message was very important. And McLuhan's message was the medium is the message. Remember that? All you hippies, raise your hand. I see a woman nodding in the front row on heroin, but no, I mean nodding. Yes, I need you to nod yes. I don't need you to nod out. You're not in Hollywood. Okay, I see a few people remember Marshall McLuhan, who wrote, the medium is the message, right? Now, if you're taking over the internet and you're giving it to a bunch of bumbling, idiotic, fascistic, mean-spirited bureaucrats of the type that are running America today, if they're going to control the medium called broadband, then they're going to control the message. That's exactly what just happened today. So here is the fair-minded Hillary Clinton, who has disappeared during ISIS's rampage, rapes, murder, genocide, suddenly pops up out of the woodwork. You got to listen to her in clips 1 through 3. Here she is, the real one.
I would vote for net neutrality because, as I understand it, it's Title II with a lot of changes within it in order to avoid the worst of the utility regulation. So it's a foot in the door. It's a value statement. I think the president is right to be up front and out front on that. We need to do more about how the spectrum is allocated. We need to do more about how we incentivize more competition in broadband. We need to figure out how to treat, you know, connectivity as a infrastructure development. There's a lot of other aspects, so it's not just net neutrality standing alone, end of debate. And we also are not operating in a vacuum. We know that other countries are taking their own steps to, you know, monitor the internet, control the internet, which we're not. But what we've got to figure out is how you get the right balance.
Monitor or control the internet. Monitor or control the internet. So here is the real face of this woman. Here is her not getting her ego out of the way, but putting her ego directly in the way. Here is a woman who is so caring and cooperative that she quotes foreign powers as examples of internet control. Now, who are the foreigners that she's talking about? China and Russia. UN internet powers. Republicans fear net neutrality plan could lead to UN internet powers. An Obama administration official dismissed any link between the FCC's rules and international authority over the internet, which, you know, whenever they dismiss something, you know it's true because they're all liars. Advocates, including President O, argued that the move is the... Oh, you don't understand. I'm not even going to read this. Forget about it. It's over your head. All of the inchworms out there who listen to me on the other side of the aisle, the Solenterate inchworms, those who laugh at Woody Allen's movies and don't understand how damaging his message is, you have no idea what contempt I have for the Larry Davids and the Woody Allens of the world. You don't know the enmity I have for those people. They've destroyed the world. You know why I say it? Because the devil is funny. The devil is clever. The devil is a very funny man. I received an email from a publisher pushing Hillary, and it says, "A woman in the White House, why it works." I have to read this garbage to you so you can see how twisted the world has become. Dear Michael Savage, Hillary Rodham Clinton has a new approach for her 2016 presidential campaign, it reads. The New York Times reported this week. Well, that's a very reliable source, as you know. Clinton has increasingly embraced the idea that the voter of 2016 will see her gender as an appealing asset and even an advantage that she will have over male candidates, as the Times reports. Now, that unto itself, a child wouldn't write a thing like this. When I was a school teacher, if a child wrote that in the seventh grade, I'd say, go back, start again, because you're getting an F on that line. Why would someone's gender be an appealing asset and an advantage over males? Tell me what. What is it about women that make give them an advantage over a male candidate? What, just because they're not a man? So listen to this twisted insanity. Quote, Mrs. Clinton is unlikely to play into Republican caricatures of her as a divisive feminist warrior by highlighting her global advocacy for women and girls. Rather, her advisors say, she can be expected to weave gender into matters of economic fairness and opportunity, close quote. Now, if she's been a warrior for women and girls, how come she hasn't said one word, not one syllable, about the enslavement of women and girls by Muslims? How come she has not talked about genital mutilation by Muslims around the world? How come she hasn't mentioned the kidnapping and the enslavement of Christians Christian girls and women in the Middle East, or Azidi girls and women in the Middle East. It's a complete lie. But they go on. With Clinton's new emphasis on the positive leadership traits a woman can bring to the presidency, voters may soon realize that female leadership is exactly what has been missing in the United States. I mean, you know, you can laugh at a thing like this, but they live in their own world. Why has female leadership been exactly what's missing in the United States? America's run by a sorority right now. America is run by a female leadership. The sorority around Obama is what has wrecked this country. Now they go on, it even gets worse. They quote some crackpot medical doctor, a so-called leading authority in biological anthropology, and here's what he argues. He says women possess traits that have long naturally made them better leaders and biologically superior to men, especially since men's physical strength is mattering less and less. Tell that to ISIS. Go ahead, tell that to ISIS, doc. Women make the best leaders, Connor explains, because they're fundamentally pragmatic as well as caring. Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer are caring and cooperative as well as competitive. Unbelievable. Wait, this gets better. Skilled in getting their own egos out of the way. Who is this crackpot doctor? They're skilled in getting their own egos out of the way? You mean Barbara Boxer? Dianne Feinstein got their egos out of the way? Deft in managing people. Yeah, by shrieking at them and scaring them to death. Without putting them on the defensive. Connor makes a compelling case that the end of male supremacy is where we are headed. And he sheds light on how women's ascent to power will make the world better for women and men both. This is Melvin Connor, M.D. Now, I don't know where this crackpot got his medical degree from, nor what his sexual ambiguity is, but I think Melvin Connor, M.D. needs a good psychiatrist. And then they try to peddle a book to me and get him on the show to talk about how good it is. And it came to me from a publicist from the W.W. Norton Company, and I sent her back a note which said, "Have you no shame?" I doubt very much that she even knows what the word shame means. It's been disenabled from the human condition. Now, we know that the military has been degraded under Obama. We learned yesterday that China has actually passed us in the number of submarines floating beneath the waters. Did you know that? Because Obama has so deballed and decimated the military, and I include the Navy, China has now surpassed us in the number of submarines that they've launched. Does that worry you at all? Do you fear the worst now that the stooges on the FCC have adopted the so-called net neutrality bill? Now, after net neutrality, what is next for this government to try and take over? Speaking of guns, Obama has backdoored gun control on the nation. He targeted the top-selling AR-15-style semi-automatic rifle by banning the manufacture of its bullets. Why? Why do you think that the liberals in government fear the AR-15 with this type of ammunition? There's only one reason. They have 2 billion rounds of hollow point 9mm ammunition given out to their own troops. Which troops? Not our military. No, given out to the domestic military that Obama has been building slowly over the last 6 years. What is it that you think this government fears the most? Do I have to finish that question for you? Now, is it too late to do anything to stop this imperial president? What will it take for the uniformed men and women of America for them to figure out what this administration is doing to them and their families? Here's the last question of the day before I take your calls. What will the world look like in the next 5 years after this administration has helped Iran get the bomb? That's a very sobering question. You know, of course, that Kerry and Obama, through the good offices of Valerie Jarrett, have been enabling the Iranians to develop a nuclear weapon or two. Why do you think they're working around the clock to throw mud in our eyes about Iran's development of a nuclear weapon? Why? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from.
The bottom line is that if somebody's working for ICE and there is a policy and they don't follow the policy, there are going to be consequences to it. So I can't speak to a specific problem. What I can talk about is what's true in the government generally. In the U.S. military, when you get an order, you're expected to follow it. doesn't mean that everybody follows the order. If they don't, they've got a problem. In the short term, if Mr. McConnell, the leader of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, want to have a vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not, they can have that vote. I will veto that vote because I'm absolutely confident that what we're doing is the right thing to do.
I want you to mark down the 26th of February, 2015. It's the day that the naked dictatorship exposed itself. We've known what it was. Those of us who watched this man have known his inclinations and what he was doing. I should say inclinations and machinations behind the scenes. But today he has stripped off his mask and shown us the true face of evil. It's not a touch of evil. It's pure evil. Now, why do I say the president is representing pure evil? Because he's anathema to everything that America stands for. The last week, Rudy Giuliani dared say a very mild thing. He said he doesn't think that Obama loves America. Oh, the left went crazy. The race baiters went berserk. The peanut gallery went nuts. All of the inchworms started to throw their shoes at Rudy Giuliani because all he said was he doesn't think he loves America. Well, I'd go further. I'd say he hates America's freedoms is what I would say. What else would you portray a president who says, let the Congress vote on whether what I'm doing is legal or not. I'll veto their vote. He's saying I'll nullify a vote of whether I'm doing something legal or not, meaning I'm above the law. So he hates America. He hates America's freedoms. Now, for anyone who's listening to this show, who in the next 2 minutes that remain for this hour, the end of the show, and it's been a difficult, difficult day to see the unmasking of this man, who is getting more brazen by the day. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I would say that we need a psychiatrist to diagnose the stage of this illness. This is a man who is whose power madness is now escalating, and God only knows what he'll do tomorrow. Does anyone know which song I was playing behind his two dictatorial speeches, that if any member of ICE dares not follow his orders, there will be consequences? It's sort of along the lines of, you better do it or else. And then the next statement, I dare Congress to challenge me because I'll veto whatever they do. Does anyone know what song I was playing and why? I think you need to screen these for me because I'm doing unscreened calls, but I'm going to give a prize out to anybody who knows what song I was playing and why I was playing it, because I think it went over the heads of most people. And yet I'm trying to use parody, humor, sarcasm, satire, sound to get my message across. It's only one man and one man's opinion with a reasonably small radio show, which accounts for between 1 and 3% of any radio audience in the country at that time. It's insignificant in terms of the overall morons in America, the idiots who watch celebrities fall and this and that and all of this. It's a small audience, but it's very large in some ways because the type of person who listens to talk radio is generally on a higher IQ level than you may think. Do we have a winner yet, Robert? Does anyone know? No, no winners. They don't know what I'm talking about. So they don't know about the Horst Wessel song. Okay, let's stop looking for those winners. Well, here's what we talked about today on the show. All in one day, another Persian miniature. Hillary Clinton's non-candidacy. Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message. How net neutrality is not net neutrality, but a government power grab. The pen and the sword, why the Middle East hates Hollywood. How ads portray white males as weaklings. The degradation of the American military. How Obama's allowing Iran to get the bomb. Liberalism is a mental disorder. Loretta Lynch's secret prosecutions. Robert De Niro's tax lien. White inventors. I can't even read all the things I touched on today. But we now have one man rule.
Savage.